I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. Before the Kansas City Council last year approved the construction of a new animal shelter, stray dogs were being housed in a 40-year-old warehouse. Cats were staying in an old office. Today, learn about a new $18 million facility that opens to the public in January. The new KC Pet Project will remain no-kill and features a state-of-the-art vet clinic. We'll also hear about something called Catios. Then, the indie film critics are back. They'll share their top picks from 2019 and review the biggest foreign, independent, and documentary films showing now around town. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. The first thing worth knowing about the Kansas City Animal Shelter is that it's 40 years old and the building was never meant to be an animal shelter. It's an old construction warehouse out on Raytown Road, and if you're getting the idea that the city needed a new one, you'd probably be right. Well, the new one is about to become a reality. In little more than a week, on January 1st, the state-of-the-art Kansas City Campus for Animal Care opens just down the street from the Kansas City Zoo. The money that allowed the KC Pet Project to build this new facility comes from $18 million in general obligation bonds that voters approved and $10 million more in private donations. The hope is that it's a new day in Kansas City when it comes to the care of our stray dogs and cats. With us here to talk about the Kansas City Campus for Animal Care are Tori Fugate. She's the Chief Communications Officer for the KC Pet Project. Tori, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you so much.
Kansas City Councilwoman Teresa Lohr is also here. She represents the city's second district up north. Teresa, nice to have you, Councilwoman.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, Tori, give us an audio tour of this new facility, if you will, because I know it has fear-free housing. It's got a veterinary clinic. It's got an education pavilion. And, of course, it's got a coffee shop. This appears to be quite a facility.
It is. It's a beautiful shelter. If you've ever been to the one out on Raytown Road, It's not that.
It's 180 degrees different. Yes.
Completely opposite. So this is a very welcoming place for families. We anticipate serving at least 25,000 families a year.
25,000?
Yes. Yeah. We expect a lot of visitors to come to the campus for a variety of things, not only to adopt a dog or a cat or look for your lost animal, but to enjoy the other amenities that we have there, like our coffee shop that you just mentioned, which is going to be a roastery coffee shop. We are partnering with the roastery, which we're very excited about. We have an education pavilion that will be able to hold birthday parties, board meetings, community events. We've already had somebody that asked about having a wedding reception there. So a lot of great things to be able to visit the campus for. And then we will have public veterinary services for the first time, not right when we open, but eventually we'll be able to offer, you know, low-cost spay neuter and things like that as well.
Well, if 25,000 people come through the facility a year, how many dogs and cats come through it?
Right now, we take in 10,000 animals a year, and we do that out of a 14,000-square-foot facility. And we are increasing our capacity for animals here. We do anticipate having a few more animals come in than we do today. So it's typical whenever a shelter opens up. But we hope that we're going to start putting programs in place that we can start offering resources to those in the community that maybe can't keep their pet for whatever reason, whether it be medical, behavior, or food assistance, things like that. We'll be able to offer a lot more resources than we're able to today.
Is it just dogs and cats?
We take in everything except for wildlife, which will go across the street to Lakeside Nature Center, okay, or large hoofed animals like horses and cattle. But we have an outdoor facility that we can have, a little barn that we can hold all of our, pigs and goats and chickens and things that come in. Just in the past week, we took in 112 small animals from a case where we had hamsters, gerbils, fish, sugar gliders, rats, all sorts of things. So we get every sort of animal that could be a pet.
Even fish.
We had a lot of people who were very interested in adopting those fish, so they went out the door very quickly.
Councilwoman Lohr, have you seen this new facility?
I have, Steve.
What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's fabulous, of course, because this is the one thing that I ran for when I ran again in 2015 was to get a new animal shelter built.
Well, why was it so important? Just because the state of the old one was just so bad?
Absolutely. I mean, if you've ever visited the shelter on Raytown Road, it's like going to the concentration camps in Dachau or someplace.
Wow.
I mean, they are really awful. And they are, you know, used to be, until Casey Pet Project took over, a real death chamber for animals.
Hmm.
So it really was needed. The way people are treating and looking at animals around the country is completely different than it was, say, 25 years ago.
Right.
We are seeing them as our parts of our family. You know, therapy. There are so many people that now that are realizing, you know, what the animal world is really about.
You know, you've been involved in a lot of issues in this town over the years. How tough or how difficult a sell was this new animal shelter?
It wasn't difficult at all.
Yeah, that wasn't my sense, yeah.
No, people were way ready to do this. And when we put it on the ballot with the geo bond, in fact, the animal shelter was one of the three issues on the geo bond, and we felt that because the people that were coming out to vote for the shelter we were able to pass the geo bond because of that.
That the animal shelter lifted all boats,
absolutely,
if you will.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, when animals, you know, Tori, are taken to the old shelter on Raytown Road, Teresa Lohr just described it as like a concentration camp. Could you see it in the animals? Was their mood affected by having to go into a place like that? Because it sounds like it probably would.
It would be for animals. It's always been really tough for them to come in. We have 200 barking dogs in one room. That's just completely overwhelming for any animal to come in.
Wow.
It's a very unnatural thing to have to go into an animal shelter for an animal, and just to have the stress of the environment also added to the fact that, you know, they may have been lost on the street and brought in, or their family may have had to give them up, and now they're in this, you know, kind of loud, scary place. So we've done everything that we possibly can to alleviate the stress of the animals. We do play groups every day with all the dogs. We do a lot of enrichment in kennel and out of the kennel as well for all animals that are there. But we have cats in office spaces. We have people that work in hallways. You know, we're so fortunate to have amazing volunteers who come there every day, even though it's a very difficult environment. And for those of us that have worked there a long time, we're excited to also have, you know, nice spaces for people and volunteers that come to the shelter as well.
I was going to say 200 dogs in one room. That's a lot of sound.
It's a lot of sound. If you go in there, we've actually measured it. It can be just as loud as, you know, Arrowhead Stadium on a Sunday.
No kidding.
It's so loud in there.
No kidding.
And we do as much as we possibly can, but this one we're going from 200 barking dogs in one room to 15. So we'll have 15 dogs in each room. We actually have speaker systems in all the animal and human rooms as well, to be able to play music for the animals. We find that music can help alleviate stress. We can also play books on tape for them.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Is that when you talk about fear-free housing, is that what you're talking about?
That is a big piece of it. So lowering their stress, lowering the anxiety levels of all the animals, but also separation of species. So even in our vet clinic, we have an exam room for dogs and an exam room for cats, because sometimes if a cat goes in a room where a dog has been in, that can elevate their stress levels. So we've taken a lot of considerations there to separate species as much as we possibly can as well.
Is it unusual for you guys to have a veterinary clinic on site, or is that pretty typical for shelters these days?
It is, and shelter medicine is actually becoming a very popular thing for veterinarians to go into. We desperately need more shelter vets in the United States. And what we see in shelter medicine is just a variety of things. So, I mean, we're kind of a trauma center some days at the shelter. We take in all of the animals that need just basic veterinary care, but then we get animals that are hit by cars. We see gunshot victims, stab victims. I mean, we see a lot of cruelty against animals, and we have to have a veterinarian there on staff at all times to be able to take in and help those pets.
Councilwoman Lohr, I gather by what you said a few minutes ago that your message to Kansas City is that they're getting their money's worth with this new facility, this new space?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have not built a Taj Mahal. I don't want to give anyone that impression. We have built a very good shelter for our animals. Now, the maybe some see there are some frills there, but that's just for the human element. That's not necessarily for the animals, the coffee
right.
shop, et cetera. But we needed a facility that was at least adequate for what we do. I mean, when Kansas City Pet Project took over, and they were overwhelmed with the amount of animals that they were bringing in, and, you know, we are a no-kill shelter. So we adopt out or rehome or find rescues for everything that comes in the door. So it's quite an operation, and it needed the facility. And we're on the cutting edge, but there are also cities around the country that are already here.
I gather this facility was too long in coming, Councilwoman?
Oh. Way too long.
Way too long.
And I think there was just no political will to do it. You know, I got lucky when I got on the council that Jolie Justice was also on the council. And she and I were both animal advocates. And so I think with the two of us together, we were able to push forward a little bit more than probably previous councils. So we got the shelter on the ballot. And from there, it just kind of went forward.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR, and we're talking about the new state-of-the-art Kansas City campus for animal care, the new Kansas City animal dog and cat shelter that's being built and just about to open on January 1st out by the Kansas City Zoo. If you want to join our conversation here, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. Tori Fugate, again, Chief Communications Officer for the KC Pet Project. What's the capacity for this new facility? And some folks might wonder, is it big enough for the years to come?
We did build it a lot bigger than what it is today. So three times the spaces that we have today.
Three
times larger.
Wow.
And so we do have the capacity to take in more animals. And we have the ability, like if we get, you know, large scale hoarding cases and things like that, that we're able to take them in. So we did increase our capacity quite a bit. And just overall, we right-sized everything in the shelter based on the programs that we had today, as well as future growth.
I can't help but wonder if your staff has already moved into the new facility and how happy they are to be out of the old joint. Yeah.
There are a few of us that are working there each day putting final touches on, because we do have animals that are going to start moving in on the 27th, which is going to be quite the operation. So we'll be posting a lot of fun videos and everything on social media for everybody to see the movement of animals coming into the shelter. And then we will officially have our soft opening launch on the 1st. And so if you are planning to come to the shelter, we'll ask for your patience as we figure out this whole new system and everything as we're moving in. And then we'll have our official grand opening ribbon cutting on the 24th of January.
And the public's invited to that, then,
absolutely.
I gather.
Absolutely. Yeah. We would love to have you.
So is the first animal that comes in the door going to be treated differently with special biscuits or treats, or how's that going to work?
Well, we have some special guests that are going to help us move animals in that day. So it's going to be a really exciting.
Special guests like whom?
Well, I don't want to give away everything.
Like well-known people in town.
Yeah, and then some great partners and stuff along the way. So, I mean, the police have been a great partner of ours. Lately, we started our Paw Patrol program with them where they do dog day outs. And so they very much want to be involved in helping to load up a dog and move them across town over to Swope Park.
Kansas City's new pet shelter, 816-235-2888 is the number here. Jake from Kansas City, Missouri, welcome.
Yes, good morning. A couple of things. Curious what the ongoing source of funding will be. Does it come out of, you know, general fund, you know, the city on the hook, park department, who? And one other thing, just an observation, Miss Lohr may rethink the analogy to a concentration camp. I think it's a bit over the top.
Oh, okay. But, I appreciate that, Jake, and she's nodding her head too. Councilwoman Lohr, what about the ongoing funding for this facility?
Well, we will be funding it out of the city. It is a city part of a city department, so we will fund it as we have normally funded it all along. Before Kansas City Pet Project took over, it was city operated.
Mm-hmm.
So that is just part of the general budget and we'll continue to do that. But KCPP also does private funding, and they raise a lot of their own money. And the caller is right. I knew as the minute I said it that was
you wish
wrong.
You had that one back again.
And my apologies.
When people come out to adopt a pet, do they pay fees that help obviously keep the shelter running?
Yeah, we do adoption fees. And then, you know, if your pet does get lost and comes to us, there are a few fees associated to get those out that are according to city ordinance. But we do a lot of low-cost adoptions. We are typically very, very low-cost as far as adoptions go. And you get your spay-neuter surgery. You get a microchip, health, you know, checking them all out, making sure they're all healthy. So there's a lot that you get for maybe that $100 adoption fee.
I was going to say, what does it cost? $100?
That's the average for a dog adoption. For cats, it's $25 to $50. So it's a really low-cost fee. Right now, we're doing $25 adoptions until Christmas Eve on all adult pets.
You have a new home for the holidays sort of extravaganza going on right now. It's a good time to come out and get one.
It's a great time. So yeah, $25 adoption fees on all adult pets at our three adoption centers. So we have our current one that we're still in out on Raytown Road, our Zona Rosa location, and then our Petco Adoption Center in Overland Park are all offering $25 adoption fees until Christmas Eve.
Okay. Teresa, this arrangement where the facility was built with taxpayer dollars, but the KC Pet Project is now going to operate it. Anything unusual about that arrangement?
Not really. This is the way it's being done around the country. It is the responsibility of the municipality to take care of, you know, stray and animals. Mm-hmm. So most cities are building the building and will put a nonprofit in or run it themselves. The nonprofits seem to be the trend these days because they have a different philosophy on how the animals are treated and taken care of.
How many strays come in a day typically, Tori?
On average, we get at least 30 animals a day.
30
a day.
How many go out the door through adoption a day?
A good day is around 10. We also do a lot of fostering just to move animals into temporary homes. Maybe it's a litter of underage kittens that need to go into homes until they're about 8 weeks old. So we have, you know, typically around 300 to 400 animals just in foster homes as well as all of our locations.
So there's always a need for people to come adopt then, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Every day. And we have, you know, a variety of animals that come in. It's not just a certain breed. We get purebred animals all the time. We have puppies. We have kittens. But every day is a new adventure. So some days we get 30 animals. Some days we get 50. And we just never know. We have to be ready for however many animals come through our doors every day.
What, the phone just rings and off you have to go grab some animals that need some help?
Well, anytime that if a citizen finds an animal in Kansas City, Missouri as a stray, they can bring it to our shelter and drop it off there. We ask for a $20 drop-off fee just to help with the you know, the ongoing medical care and everything like that. But we work with people a lot on that.
But even a good Samaritan who finds a stray, wants to bring it in, you're going to charge them $20?
Well, that's according to the city mandate that it's in the city ordinance. But we do work with people a lot on that. And we are looking at extending hours in our admissions department so that we can make it a little bit easier for people if they're heading to work and things like that, that they can drop an animal off earlier.
Let's go to Carrie from Lee Summit. Carrie, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. I was wanting to ask the council person if there had been made arrangements for the former folks who work for the city of Kansas City as animal patrol officers. Will they be hired by the KC Pet Project? Because I recognize that many people had been working there for a long time and were in fear of losing their jobs.
What about that, Councilman Lohr?
Yes, most of the animal control officers have been relocated within the city. In fact, but they are most welcome to go with KC Pet Project also. But I think there hasn't been anybody let go with no job. I mean, we are replacing them daily within the city.
And Tori, you're nodding your head over that, yeah.
Yes. So with the transition, we are, you know, in talks to negotiate the contract to privatize the animal control services for Kansas City, Missouri. We are actively working on that contract and a transition plan so that that can happen relatively quickly, as quick as it possibly can. And every current officer that's on staff that does want the opportunity to apply and still work as animal control officer for KC Pet Project will have the opportunity to do so.
Okay. What was the process, Councilwoman Lohr, for getting this bond issue on the ballot? What did you have to go through there?
A lot. Mm-hmm. We had to convince the council that, in fact, it was worthy of being on the ballot. And that's.
And you give tours to the old facility to the council members to give them a sense of what you were
yes.
up against?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that maybe that helped them see firsthand what was going on out
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just a lot of convincing, which Jolie and I both worked on hard. Jolie was a little closer to the mayor at the time, so she was able to kind of convince him that this was an important issue. So once we convinced him, we were able to kind of slide it on in to get it on the ballot.
Yeah. So if someone is interested, Tori, in coming out and adopting a pet, you know, some veterinarians say, you know, like holidays is kind of a tricky time to do adoptions. Dr. Wayne Hunhausen, who's here, sometimes talks about that. But what kinds of things might they want to think about if they have heard you talk about this today and maybe are thinking now they should come out and adopt a dog or cat?
Yeah. I mean, the holidays are actually a great time to adopt a pet because most people are home a lot over the break. Your kids are off school. Maybe you're off work for a few weeks or a couple weeks, and you can spend some time with that new pet. It does take a little bit of time to transition a pet into a new home and make them comfortable. So the more that you're able to work with them, the better. So this is actually a really great time. And for those that are thinking maybe the pets as gifts option. I always say that if you're wanting to give a pet as a gift, make sure that the person on the receiving end of the gift is also on board with receiving
yes,
a pet.
Very good idea.
And, you know, if it's also a great thing if you're thinking about giving a gift of a pet to kids, bring the kids down with you and let them help pick out the animal. That kind of gives them a little bit more of an investment in that animal. They're more likely to take care of them and, you know, help feed them. So it's not just all mom and dad that's taking care of the animal. And but it's a great thing. And that way the pet can meet everybody in the family and make sure that it's all a good fit.
Okay, the official grand opening for this new Kansas City campus for animal care will be on January 24th. Big open house that day, and lots of people can come out and see everything, right?
Right, 10 a.m. Be there on the 24th. It's going to be a very special day for us and a historic day in Kansas City.
That's the voice of Tori Fugate. She's with the KC Pet Project. We were also joined by Kansas City Councilwoman Teresa Lohr. Thank you both for your time. Good luck getting this thing going.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet. After a short break, we'll come back with our film critics and talk about the best films of the year. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. Get ready to start the new year right. Sign up for Kraske Off Mic. That's my weekly newsletter. You can get insights from me on the people and issues making news and highlights from the up-to-date team. Don't miss out. Subscribe at kcur.org/Kraske. On Monday, you'll find my unconventional pick for the Kansas City Person of the Year in the newsletter. Monday on the show, mental and physical health care should be covered equally according to a 2008 federal law. Find out why Missouri doesn't enforce it and how that affects mental health patients across the state. That's Monday on KCUR's Up to Date. Well, the Christmas break means at least two things in the world of film. One, with a few days off, it's a great time to go out and catch up on some good movies. And two, it's an excellent time to look back at the year it was and rate the best movies of the year. We're about to do that right now with our film critics, and they are Cindy Haynes. Cindy, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Steve Walker is here.
Thank you for having me.
Bob Butler, whose reviews you can read at butlercinemascene.com. Robert?
Good morning,
good
all.
Have you. We're going to talk about the year in film a little later on, but let's give our audience a bit of a tease here. How good a year was 2019 in the world of film? Was it an uplifter, a downer? Robert, how did you see it? Middle of the road? What are you looking at?
To tell you the truth, I'm going to say it's middle of the road because for me, I was not as wildly enthusiastic as I have been in the past about certain films. I found myself more, maybe this is a function of age, I don't know. I found myself in the middling center on a lot of things this year as opposed to being wildly enthusiastic. How about you guys?
Cindy, what did you think?
Well, I kept thinking about Netflix and the impact that that company is having on the film industry in general, and what they're throwing a tremendous amount of money toward some movies that I think are not worth your while, and then something like The Irishman, which I think is a fantastic film.
Yeah.
So it's been very strange. It really has. And some of my favorite films have been foreign films this year.
Huh. Steve.
Your interesting use of enthusiastic, because overall I don't even remember the whole year as a whole. We see so much stuff. But in the middle of watching, say, Parasite or Honeyland, my favorite documentary, I was just taken away completely.
You can wildly enthusiastic. You can still sort of stop and think to yourself, this is just
amazing. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll sometimes weirdly say it out loud watching it at home.
That right. is the high that every movie junkie seeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You'd be yanked out of yourself and into this world.
Yeah, and Honeyland, wow, does that do that.
I was going to say you had that feeling a couple times this year, it sounds
Yeah.
Cindy, did you reach movie nirvana in your mind as you went through?
Every once in a while, there's a film, Waves, that left. It showed... How long, Steve?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Waves.
Waves. Brilliant film about a upper middle class
black family.
Family. Jeez. And their relationship with their children. It is just amazing.
Tremendous movie.
Gone too soon. So then you're thinking, well, I guess we'll just wait till it shows up on Amazon Prime or Netflix. But it's been an interesting year. It's in the film industry is in transition, and it's not going to be the same this time next year.
Bob, was there a moment for you that you recall where you were sitting watching a film and you just thought, man, it doesn't get much better than this?
Well, better is not the word I'm thinking of. I have to tell you that a movie that we're not going to talk about again, so I'm going to mention it right now, Joker hit me right between the eyes in ways I did not expect.
Mm-hmm.
Within the context of a quote-unquote comic book movie, I thought they were hitting some real dark and important themes.
Yeah.
So, you know, what can I say?
Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go to some films that are out right now, and then we'll get to the best films of the year later on. Let's go to A Hidden Life, Steve. It's inspired by actual events. It's about an Austrian farmer who refuses combat service during World War II because he'd have to take an oath of loyalty to a guy named Adolf Hitler.
Right. True story. A guy named Franz Jägerstätter, conscientious objector, perhaps the best of World War II. Terrence Malick directed it, who has made some real stinkers in the last couple years, but I think back to Badlands and Tree of Life. When he's right on, his movies are incredibly beautiful. And this one's cinematography is stunning, this Austrian village, where the family even says they live, quote, above the clouds.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. And it starts with him seeing some footage of what the Nazis are doing, and he says to somebody in his town, don't they know evil when they see it? And then little things start to add up. He learns the church bells are being melted for bullets. People hear about his distaste for what Hitler's doing and shun them. They'll say Heil Hitler to them on the street in their village, and they don't do it back, and it throws everyone else in town for a loop.
You like this film?
I liked it a lot.
I love it. You know, and here's the thing. Terrence Malick, there are two Terrence Malicks. There's narrative Terrence Malick, the Badlands Terrence Malick, and then there's the woo-woo Terrence Malick, the Tree of Life. And this, in a way, is a great melding of the two because it is narratively coherent. It's more or less chronological, but he still brings to it what I call the Terrence Malick Eye of God approach. Hmm. It's an approach where family life and animals, farm animals, a plank of wood that's been weathered by the sun and wind, all of these elements almost have equal importance in the world he creates. And that's a real transcendent thing. He doing that in movies, how the it's yeah. almost impossible.
Well, and in watching this movie, it's a case of realizing while I was watching it that it was the work of a genius, that the film that he created is something that took someone of Terrence Malick's skill to make. And
wow.
He did an incredible job.
So three thumbs up.
It's
film,
long.
A Hidden Life.
People should be aware it's 3 hours long. But
what's the clip we got, Steve?
It's a clip of him talking to the priest, sort of questioning what is the church doing about what's going on.
This is from A Hidden Life.
We're killing innocent people, raiding other countries, preying on the weak. Now, the priests call them heroes, even saints. The soldiers, the doers. It might be that the other ones are the heroes.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's
sense.
Very short.
Very short clip, yeah. Okay, that film, A Hidden Life, our critics say go see it. Let's move on to another film, Cindy Haynes, that's getting a lot of attention right now. It's called Bombshell. It's about female employees at Fox News who take on the CEO of the place, Roger Ailes, who created a toxic workplace.
I have very, very mixed feelings about this movie.
A lot of people I think.
I don't think it should have been made at this point.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Too soon?
Too soon, too narrow, too trite in many ways. It's got three amazing performances, but these are none of these characters that I had any empathy for. And we're talking about Nicole Kidman, who plays Gretchen Carlson. Charlize Theron is the one, I think, who really put this film together. She plays Megyn Kelly, and her transformation into Megyn Kelly is eerie.
It's
jaw-dropping.
It's unbelievable. Yeah,
and
how much she looks like her.
And John Lithgow is perfect as Roger Ailes.
Perfectly horrible.
Perfectly horrible. You're absolutely right.
And
then there's a made-up character played by Margot Robbie named Kayla Pospil or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept flashing back to a very, very good documentary entitled Divide and Conquer, The Story of Roger Ailes.
Hmm.
It came out in 2018, and it's a much better study of harassment in the workplace and also the power that men have over women. So I would recommend, and I think it's available on Netflix.
I think a lot of good talent being wasted here, Cindy?
Being wasted here.
I don't know if I'd say wasted, but I got to admit I was disappointed. Here's the deal. Jay Roach, who directed it, has done some, he's got comedy credentials. I mean, Austin Powers and the Meet the Parents franchise. And yet he approaches this so straight. If there had been a satirical edge here, something like what Adam McKay brought to Vice last year, I would have been right on top of it. As it is, it's so straightforward, it almost, aside from the indignation you get over all this sexist behavior, you don't feel anything else. And I found that really frustrating.
Hmm.
I would have found a satire on this story completely distasteful.
Okay.
I think Jay Roach did what he needed to do, and that is tell the story about what these women endured for years and years and years.
So did you like it then?
I did. I thought Charlize was incredible. The same person who did her makeup did Gary Oldman's Churchill makeup last year.
Oh, really?
And that's quite an artist. Yeah, I think it's worth seeing for sure.
So
yeah.
you're on the bubble.
I'm on the fence.
And we're having a disappointed response from Cindy Haynes here. What's the clip we have here, Cindy?
It's Megyn Kelly ranting.
Let's hear Megyn Kelly rant.
It's like we're telling women, go on, speak up for yourself. Just know the entire network is with Roger. No one will believe you. They'll call you a liar. Oh, and as for your career, you want assignments and airtime? Go ahead. Call the paranoid man who decides your salary a pervert and do that on a f***ing anonymous hotline he controls.
If you know Megyn Kelly's voice, you can hear that Charlize has the voice.
Yeah,
also,
no kidding.
Eerily so,
yeah.
Right.
Well, okay, so, middling here, and I was sort of hoping for a little more excitement because this film's gotten so much attention.
It's on my three to see.
It is on your
three
to see.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking with our film critics about the latest independent movie showing around town. We'll get to our best films of the year in just a little bit here. Bob Butler, let's go to a film. It's titled Honey Boy. It's a autobiographical inspired story about a child star who grew up under difficult circumstances and struggled eventually to reconcile with his abusive father.
Well, Shia LaBeouf, a well-known actor, actually becoming a really terrific actor in middle age, if you saw him in Fury and now in this film. But he was a child actor and it pretty well messed with him. This is a screenplay Shia LaBeouf wrote about being a child actor with a single dad being in charge of his career, not a stage mother, but a stage father, and he plays his own father. Now, some of the implications of this are kind of like mind-bending. I mean,
a little Freudian.
No kidding. Here's the thing. Shia LaBeouf playing his father transforms himself into this long-haired, bespectacled former rodeo clown who embarrasses himself at every opportunity trying to impress the ladies on the set where his son is working, who argues with his kid and pushes him at every possible opportunity. The little boy is played by Noah Jupe, and he's really good. And the whole thing is told in flashback from the point of view of the grown-up child actor, now in rehab and played by
Lucas Hedges.
One of the great young actors of our time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's... talk about, autobiographical. Ouch.
Well, and the young actor that they got to play him as a young kid, Noah Jupe, is incredible. And I have so much respect now for Shia LaBeouf that I didn't have before. And one of the films is in, I think it's probably still showing somewhere, is Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah, he was really great in that this year.
He's fantastic in that
film.
So
you guys like this film.
I did.
I did. One of Hedges' lines is, "The only thing my father gave me of value was pain."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a painful movie. There's a lot of emotional abuse, physical
abuse.
We've
got a clip here of the father confronting his 10-year-old son.
Yeah. This is from Honey Boy.
Why is she busy? Why does she have a job? Think it through. Play the tape out. What's your mother got a job for? Huh?
Just in case.
In case what?
I don't
In case
know.
You fail. In case it don't work out. Yes, man. She's filling your head full of fear. I don't ever do that, do I? Huh? I pump you full of strength. Because we're on a team, and I know you got what it takes. You're a star, and I know it. That's why I'm here. I'm your cheerleader, honey boy.
That's where the title comes from, it sounds
like.
Okay,
yeah.
So three thumbs up for Honey Boy.
It's playing
a film I haven't heard much about here.
It's playing at Liberty Hall only. It's been at several AMC screens for a couple weeks, but it moved to Liberty Hall.
Okay.
In Lawrence.
Yeah.
Again, we're reviewing some of the best indie films showing around town right now with our film critics. Steve, let's move on to The Aeronauts. It's an Amazon Prime feature. It's about a 19th century story. A meteorologist and a balloon pilot attempt to set a world's record by going high up in the sky, and it looks kind of scary. It actually happened,
although Felicity Jones is playing a character who was male when it really happened. She's turned into a pilot, an entertainer, an adventuresome young woman, and Eddie Redmayne plays the real scientist, James Glacier, and the two of them take this balloon. They want to get as high as they can, and they do. They get higher than anyone has ever been in the sky at the time it's set, which is 1862? My thought during it, I love this, and it's, again, Steve, an example of it played on area screens 1 week and is now on Amazon Prime.
Which is, you begin to wonder, a lot of people are thinking, why should I go see it in a theater when I can sit at home and watch it?
They probably do.
You know?
But the biggest thought takeaway I had from it was, I wish fathers and their daughters could go see this. They have daughters that are into science. And
Is it worth seeing on the big screen?
It should only be seen on the big screen.
It's a great adventure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a family movie about people trying to realize their dreams, whether those are scientific or just celebrity.
Whatever. Didn't Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne...
A Theory of Everything.
The Theory of Everything. They made that
about
movie
Stephen
together.
Hawking, yeah. Yeah.
Well, just the idea of going sky high in a balloon, that makes me nervous.
It gets very cold up there.
I saw a little preview for it. It looked a little cold up there. So what's the clip we have here from The Aeronauts?
It's kind of at the time that people are gathered around, like it's a big circus, and it's their time of lifting off the balloon.
Are you ready?
Yes, I just need to retake my ground readings. Do one final check of the equipment.
Well, my equipment, it's all prepared in advance. Now, don't touch this rope, Mr. Glacier, because it will let out the gas.
I do know how a balloon works.
Well, better them than me. No thanks. Yeah.
And her character is sort of loosely based on a real person, Sophie Blanchard, who was a French balloonist, one of the first females who actually took to the skies.
Yeah. Okay, again, that film is titled The Aeronauts here. Let's move to some features that are on Netflix here. Steve, you want to talk about a film that's gotten some pretty strong reviews. It's titled Two Popes, and it is what it is. What the title suggests, set in 2012, conservative Pope Benedict and the liberal future Pope Francis search for a common ground as they challenge each other to forge a new direction for the Catholic Church.
And if my friends knew that I loved this movie so much, they would be stunned because of my a-religiosity. What a great movie. It's fabulously written and wonderfully directed by, help me with the name of the director.
Fernando Mireles.
Mireles, who did City of God, which was my favorite movie that year that came out. It's just a lot of them grappling with their own ideas about what the church should be, what social justice means in the context of the church.
It sounds like it could be a really dry film.
It sounds like it. I wasn't looking forward to putting it in my DVD player.
Like an intellectual discussion between two people.
I know.
My dinner with God.
My two popes, to say the least.
But you're saying it's not that way.
It's not. It's so good.
Scintillating dialogue. Unbelievable stuff going on here. Just an exchange, for instance, that the future Pope Francis says that his pastimes include watching soccer games and tango dancing. And as he says, as an Argentinian, that's practically compulsory. Mm-hmm. And the Benedict is doctrinaire, stick in the mud, has no idea of popular culture. People don't like him, which by the end of the movie, he admits that's one of the reasons he's bailing. People don't like him.
We've got to give credit to the actors.
And Jonathan Pryce is Pope Francis and Anthony Hopkins. To get that much talent together in front of a camera was
I'm still struggling with this idea of two people sitting in front of the camera debating big issues. You're all saying,
well,
there are several scenes
to Pope Francis' youth in Argentina, how he was going to get married but he chose the priesthood instead, and issues with the military junta there in the 70s, all of which I think is a digression. The main event here is these two guys duking it out with great dialogue.
They mention the sexual abuse scandal. They mention the fact that one line is, churches, the European churches are beautiful, but they're empty. Mm-hmm. So they were dealing with fewer and fewer Catholics even practicing.
What's the clip we have here?
I don't
here from
think
two
we
popes,
had one at airtime. I don't know.
Well, I think we've got one, and we're going to give this a rip. This is from two popes. We'll get a sense of the dialogue here.
Oh, I believe that giving communion is not a reward for the virtuous. It is food for the starving.
Ah. So what matters is what you believe, but not what the church has taught for hundreds of years.
Mark chapter 2, verse 17. I came to call sinners, as the church has taught for thousands of years.
But if we do not draw a line,
or build walls to separate.
You talk about walls as if they're bad things. A house is built of walls, strong walls.
Did Jesus build walls?
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
And it's all like that. That's what's great. I mean, there's so much quotable stuff here.
And the two actors, again, just are terrific together.
And I have to give a shout-out to the production designers who built a replica of the Sistine Chapel where one of these conversations take place. And you'd swear they stuck onto the Vatican to actually shoot it. It is so detailed.
That's
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, you're making a good case for the film Two Popes here, about two popes, Benedict and Francis, sitting back and talking over the big issues of the day with the Roman Catholic Church. Okay, Bob Butler, let's move on to the last film we're going to talk about here, Marriage Story. It's a story of a relationship that's falling apart.
Another Netflix starts in the theaters. Now it's on streaming service. Okay. They could have called this Divorce Story because it's a story of a marriage that's coming apart. It's got so much going on. Directed by Noah Baumbach, starring as the couple breaking up.
Adam Driver and Scarlett
Johansson. Adam Driver, who, by the way, was selected Best Actor by the Kansas City Film Critics Circle for this performance.
No kidding.
He's a director in New York. She's his leading lady in a experimental theater company. She goes to the West Coast hoping to break away from what she sees as sort of an artistic rut, and they realize the marriage is going to end. Now, they're good people. They want to do it amicably. In a sense, this is a black comedy about how no matter how civilized you want to be, the system won't let you be.
Mm-hmm.
The attorneys they hire, for them, it's like, you know, a boxing match. We're going to knock them out.
Laura Dern and Ray Liotta going toe-to-toe. Right.
Wow.
And the couple themselves, it's mostly seen through Adam Driver's eyes because he's the guy that remains in New York but must set up a cohabitation thing in L.A. if he's going to have any rights with his kid. And it's devastating. It's both funny in a very bleak way, and yet it's so true that you can't help but feeling for these people. They are going through hell.
How depressing is it?
Not.
That's the interesting thing.
Sure it is.
I don't think so.
How could it not be?
Get the lawyers involved. It turns into the ultimate tragedy.
It's ugly.
It destroys the family.
I'm seeing a note for when I saw it. I said there's tenderness between them, but also little deaths by a thousand cuts.
That's true. That's absolutely, that's really a way of doing it. Yeah.
I kept thinking of Kramer versus Kramer, 1979, when I was watching this, and I felt it had a bit more...
I think this is more realistic.
Yes, I would agree there.
Would you recommend it? I mean, is this a film you want to go see?
Yeah, the acting is terrific, yeah.
And it's very... Even the supporting roles are terrific.
Yeah. You recommend it?
You know I do.
Really? Despite it all.
Despite your tears.
Yeah. We do have a little clip if you got time for it.
We do.
Okay, well, here are our two stars.
Ranting.
They're getting down to it here.
Okay.
What?
You're so merged with your own selfishness, you don't even identify it as selfishness anymore. You're such a dick.
Every day I wake up and I hope you're dead. Dead like if I could guarantee Henry would be okay. I'd hope you'd get an illness and then get hit by a car and die.
Okay, now that clip doesn't exactly sell the movie to me. I want to spend 2 hours listening to that.
That's a long scene.
That's
they rip
the culmination.
Each other to shreds. But it ends with that tenderness, and I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know,
who hasn't been in a relationship where you blew it at some point?
Happy holidays to everybody here with Marriage Story. Okay,
right.
Some local stuff going on here. Cindy, you wanted to mention Miracle on
34th
Street.
Yes, we're so excited. The Tivoli returns to the Nelson Atkins. They'll be showing Miracle on 34th Street Monday, December 23rd at 11:15. Steve, they've got some wonderful films coming up.
Well, they're bringing back Pain and Glory, which was Pedro Almodovar's movie that we were going to talk about last month.
Oh, yeah, right.
It played 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry's bringing it back January 3rd, 5th, and 6th.
Okay. Well, let's just talk for a moment about favorite films of the year, and if you're going to go see three films this week, which three you might recommend. Cindy, how would you point to your three to see here?
There was a lot to choose from. I selected Maiden, which was a wonderful documentary about 12 women who raced to the finish. And
this is the best films of the year you're talking about. Yeah.
They battled to be equal. The first ever all-female crew to enter the What Bread Round the World
and what else?
Race. Best foreign film, Parasite. Best favorite independent film, I would have to say, A Hidden Life.
Bob?
Hidden Life for Best Indie. Foreign film, Pain and Glory. I'd go back and see that again. Documentary. You know, I had Maiden, but because you mentioned Maiden, I want to throw something else in. Linda Ronstadt, Sound of My Voice, one of the great music documentaries of all time. Mm-hmm.
People say. Steven?
Parasite, foreign film, documentary, Honeyland. I don't know where it's streaming, but it played at the Tivoli for 1 week. An American Woman, a little indie.
Yay!
Sierra Miller plays a very blue-collar, poor woman whose teenage daughter goes missing. It's a terrific film.
It is.
Find
Look it up.
Track
yeah.
it down.
Yeah.
All right. Great recommendations. We'll put them up on our website later today. I want to thank Cindy Haynes, Steve Walker, and Bob Butler. You can read his reviews at butlercinemascene.com. Thank you all. Happy holidays. Appreciate
you too.
It. Yeah. Monday on the show, we look at who is hurt most by Missouri's refusal to address mental health the same way we do physical health. Imagine that. Our theme music is composed by the great Bobby Watson. We had help this week from Linda Scherer, Maria Carter, Danny Alexander, Luke Martin, Elizabeth Ruiz, and today we bid goodbye to our favorite, loved intern, Jamie Hobbs. Jamie, thank you so much. We wish you all the best in the years and months to come. We enjoyed having you here. Have a great weekend, all. I'm Steve Kraske. And you are up to date.